Well, go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. I would like to share with you a little bit about the prophet Jonah and what the scripture says about him. It says, "For Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly." It's really a sea monster, but it's a whale's belly. "So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, the greater than Jonah is here." Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 4. It says, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah." And then Luke. Luke chapter 11. This is an interesting one. Really puts the others, all of it, in perspective, I think. It says in verse 29, it says, "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah, the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." Jonah was a sign. What happened there was a sign to the people of Nineveh. Let's go to the book of Jonah. So Jesus Christ is a sign, not only to the generation that he was, but also to us. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ equated with a prophet, you know, Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, the sea monster's belly. Jesus Christ was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That in itself was a sign to the people of Nineveh. And to us, the Lord Jesus Christ is a sign to us of God's... obviously, we're talking about the resurrection here. But we're talking, I think, when you put the book of Jonah in its understanding, I think it's bigger, or there's another additional truth that needs to be understood. Most people don't take serious the prophet Jonah, and they don't take serious the account that's here. It's a child's story, right? It's a simple story to hear and understand, but it's not a child's story at all. It's about this great prophet, and he was a prophet of God. And you get to see how human this guy is. Jonah, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Avitai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." It's amazing. He really thinks that God tells him to go to Nineveh, which is in Iraq. Mike was in that city. You know, he saw it. And he goes to Spain. You know what? I'm going the exact opposite direction as far as possible on the face of the earth that he knew. And he wants to hide like God can't find him. Maybe he thinks he can take himself out of the picture. See, there's a prophecy in Kings during the time of Jeroboam that the Assyrians are going to punish Israel for their unfaithfulness. And Jonah knew that. And Jonah was a Hebrew. He was one of the children of Israel. And he loved his nation. And he loved his people. So he figures, you know what? I don't want to go to Nineveh because I know God. And if I preach there and they change, then God will bless them and this thing's going to happen to my people. So if I don't go there, and it tells you this a little later on, if I don't go there, maybe they'll get plowed under. Because right now the Assyrians aren't doing real well. They're getting attacked on every side. So maybe they'll go under for good. And the prophecy won't come to pass. At any rate, this man, just think, he is God's prophet. Lord's talking to him. And he is willing, I'm going the other way. Now, does this stop God's word from coming to pass or what God wants? Well, you'll watch. Nobody gets in God's way. Nobody. And it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. That's the other thing you take into consideration here. God's will is coming to pass whether you like it or not. God is going to get his business done whether you decide to go the other way or not. So he tries to get out from the presence of the Lord. And he's not stupid. This man is not stupid. Verse 4. And the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, and so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. He was in his cabin, or down in a hole. And he laid and was fast asleep. A man's at perfect peace, careless, not concerned about a blessed thing. The rest of them are all, fighting for their lives. And Jonah is just in this place in his mind, and he's asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellows, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for the cause of this evil upon us. So they cast lot, and the lot fell upon Jonah. That also tells me that God can rig the game. And they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee. Now these are spirit, they all different gods they got. Now, we're not talking about Yahweh. But they're spiritual men. They're spiritual people. They pray to the little, but they're praying. They're yelling at God. They know they need help. They know they need deliverance. And when a people know that they need deliverance, they turn spiritual. You know, one of these days, our nation and the rest of this world will turn spiritual again. It's pretty much, you know, a hateful spiritual place at the moment. I want to try to get rid of God, rid of his word, rid of anything that, you know, you've got to be stupid to believe in God. Well, one day, just like a drunk and just like other evil men, you know, they're getting themselves in a trap and really think they can beat life, one day they'll hit bottom. And then they'll cry out to the Lord. And that's when I pray that you're there one day to bring them back to where they need to be. And you got to be prepared for that day. It's a little side thing. It didn't cost you nothing. But they cast lots in this boat. And they figure out, you know what? It's Jonah. Jonah, he, you know, he spills his guts here. Thus, I pray thee, for which cause this evil is upon us? What is thy occupation, and whence hast thou come? What is thy country, and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. You know, there's a difference. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. That's true. But he's not exactly obeying him, is he? So just because you fear God don't mean that you're obeying. Which hath made the sea and the dry land. It says, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah told them the whole story, and these guys believe it. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Do you think God wants him to turn around and go the way he's supposed to go? This man, it says, throw me in the sea. Now, how would he know that it's going to be calm after they throw him in the sea? Little information there. He knows that the judgment here is upon him. These guys are just along for the ride. Okay? Just like, you know, when something you do, you know, let's say the head of a family does something evil, the family's along for the ride. I mean, you're taking others with you. It's not just you. You know, it's like, you know, I was watching some special about a guy who did drugs. You know, he was a famous man, and he did drugs, and what he put his family through. And then he cleaned up his act, and he fell off the boat again. And then, you know, again, what? There's no such thing as a victimless, you know, I mean, it's all the other people you love. Oh, you know, I can do dope, I can do this, I can do that. I mean, who am I hurting? Well, besides all the people that are getting killed across the border and blown away because of the money on that end of it, how about the people in your life? How about the people you love? These guys are along for the ride. And they're decent people. So what did they do after he told them, throw me in the sea? Verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed harder to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought, and the sea was, it was against them. Therefore they cried unto Yahweh and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her rage. Then the men feared Yahweh exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto Yahweh, and made vows. I think they got one. It was a heck of a way to go witnessing, right? But these guys never forgot who God was. Now the Lord hath prepared a great fish, sea monster, great fish. I don't think it was a whale, just a big old fish. Swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, he was dead. He died. He's dead. It's not like he's got a little table and a chair in there with a little candle. I forget what fairy tale that is, but, I mean, that's why people don't take this thing real serious. They threw him overboard. He drowns. He's dead. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed. This is as Jonah's going over. Now this is written after Jonah's raised. This is chapter 2 is in the past. This is the past tense. So he's saying of what he did pray when he went over. You know, when you're about to get thrown overboard, I mean, you throw a little prayer in there. Okay, when you think you're about to bite the bullet, you got a little bit of time. You ain't got all day to pray. It ain't going to last that long. Then Jonah prayed. He gets into the sea and he prays unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cry. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, unto Yahweh, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, out of the belly of the grave, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me, the waters compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves pressed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. I'm looking for the day of the resurrection when I'll be there. I'm looking to you. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. And I went down to the bottom of the mountains. You know, the mountains underneath the deep, and it's the sea. The earth, with her bars, was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Again, this is past tense. He goes in, he's going down, and he is praying, and he's looking for that great day that's going to come one day. The resurrection he's looking forward to, being with the Lord in his holy temple. Verse 7, when my soul fainteth within me, I remembered the Lord, and I prayed, and my prayer came unto thee into thy holy temple. They that observe lying in vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed, salvation is unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. What a day, huh? So he takes the ship. He's going to Tarsus. I believe Tarsus is in Spain, right? But anyhow, it's west. It's going the opposite way. The storm, God ain't putting up with this. They figure it out. Jonah tells them. They throw him overboard. God's got this fish there, swallows him. He's dead. He prays. He dies. 3 days and three nights later, this fish gives him a free ride back to the shore and throws him up on the beach. And God raises him from the dead. That must have been quite a picture. You get vomited up on the beach after 3 days and three nights of being digestion, and God raises you from the... I don't think you smelled too good. And then, remember, who are we dealing with? Always remember who you're dealing with when you pray. Just remember. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Okay, Jonah, hey, listen up, kid. Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. You give them the message that I tell you to give. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robes from him, and he covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and to be published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, and let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mighty unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that he hath in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their work, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said unto, that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in thy country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarsus, for I know that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. I knew that this was going to happen. That's why he went to Tarsus. He knew God was merciful and kind. He knew God was forgiving. He knew that if they repented, God would not do his judgment upon them. He didn't want to go there and preach unto these people, because he knew God had changed his mind if they repented. And guess what? That puts Israel in jeopardy in the future. Because they repent this time around. Then you read the book of Amos, they don't repent. You know, they go back to their old ways. But that was the whole thing. This is why I went to Tarsus. Because I know that you're a merciful God. I mean, there's people out there, I listen to the news all the time, and there's people out there, I wish they'd just drop off the face of the earth and die a miserable death, you know what I mean? Well, if the Lord tells you to go and preach to them, oh, let them go to hell. That's exactly what's going on with Jonah here. And again, he knows the prophecies that will go. See, everything that's in the scripture, all the things that haven't come to pass, you know, every nation is going to be, if they don't bow to the Lord when he returns, if they don't bow to the Lord when he returns, they're going to be crushed. That includes this one. Now, some people don't have a lot of loyalty to the country that we live in. I kind of do. But I know, no matter how much I love my nation, unless it repents, it will be crushed. Not only could it be crushed now, but it's definitely going to be crushed if it stands against the Lord when he returns. It's just the way it's going to be. There is no sense trying to change it. So, but does that mean you don't preach? No. You do the will of the Lord. You proclaim whatever he wants proclaimed. You know, Jonah was really happy to go them and tell them, the Lord's going to destroy this place in 40 days. He was just gleeful to say that to these people. Then they repented, and God changed his mind. I'm not going to do it. And now Jonah is ticked off. I mean, this guy is praying and telling God, I'm angry. I knew that you were going to do this. Verse 3, therefore now I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then saith the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? Are you doing the right thing being angry? So Jonah went out, and by the way, Jonah didn't answer him. So Jonah went out of the city. And he sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth. He got under a tent, and he sat under it in the shadow until he might see what would become of the city. He still wants this thing wiped off the face of the earth. And God prepared a gourd. You know, it's like a palm thing, shade tree. Maybe it was a weed. I don't know. But he prepares this groan. Right? And he made it to come up over Jonah. Obviously, he's there for a little bit. Didn't just pop up. That it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. I don't know what gourd is, but it's a piece of shade, whatever it is. Verse 7, but God prepared a worm
When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, and it withered.
So, and it came to pass that when the sun did rise, see, Jonah wanted, God is preparing to teach him something. So, it came to pass that when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted, and wished it in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. This is pretty good for a guy who lives in a desert. Must have been pretty hot. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry. I am. This thing was giving me shade. And some worm came and ate it. And, yeah, I got a right to be angry here. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither hast thou grown, which came up in the night and perisheth in the night. And shouldest not I spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein there are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and as much cattle? That's quite a thing. God showed pity. The point here, you know, the planet and its people belong to God. Every one of us. We're his messengers. What you think, what you like and don't like, it's not necessarily what God thinks. His ways are higher than our ways. He's a merciful God. Can he change? Can he turn? Can people repent? Yeah, they can. Our job is to deliver the message. Plain and simple. Leave your own stuff, your own thoughts. Leave it at home. He's got the whole earth, and if people repent and turn towards him, shouldn't he be merciful? And the lesson he was trying to teach Jonah, and this was a sign, it said in the Gospels, to the people of Nineveh. I believe that this guy didn't just walk into town and start preaching cold. I believe that they knew that this fish threw this guy up on the shore, and he got up. And that's why this whole city, in no time at all, changed. And that, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a sign unto us. And that's why this man who was born and lived in Galilee and never really traveled more than 60 miles from his own hometown changed the face of the earth. So that's what I wanted to share with you.